James 3, let's pray. Father in heaven, it's sweet to worship you, to come together with other believers. Lord, we're very different in our personalities, but we are one church. Whether we are young or old, whether we are Asian or not, we all belong to Christ. We've been bought with the blood, and we are one church. Lord, whether we wear shorts or don't, we are all one church. And I thank you for the unity that we have and the love that we have. And Jesus, I pray now that you would bless Christ International Fellowship. Lord, if it's your will someday that we get a building, I pray you would do that miracle. Only you possibly could, to give us a place of our own. But nothing's impossible for you. We do remember this morning in prayer, Kaylee, to you. We do beseech you to bring healing to her, to bring comfort to Jeff and Lisa. We all stand with them in prayer. We also think of Eliam and his procedure coming up in July. And we pray for them, Lord, and for Eliam, and for that family. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And now we turn our attention to your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and you would open your word to us and meet with us this morning in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 3. James is a very practical book. It's like, this is not where you're getting doctrine. It's where you're getting how you're supposed to live. So it's a great book. Let's begin. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Wow. James, to use an English expression, does not pull any punches. He goes right to the point and he says, our tongue is a dangerous thing. And I think the key thing that he says, is found actually in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. Now he begins, I'll break it down just a little bit, not too much. He begins by saying, don't presume to be a teacher. If you're called to teaching, you better do it. But he says, he's talking about those who would pastor specifically. Now in Hebrews it says, we ought all to be teachers, but once we mature, we should be able to share the scripture. So he's not discouraging you from teaching a Bible study. He's saying, don't presume to be like a leader, to be like a pastor, and say, And then realize that with that teaching comes accountability. If I form a Bible group and I teach bad doctrine in that group, I teach something that is an error, I'm going to have to stand before God for that. And that's a great accountability. There's a stricter judgment. Now, I think God's going to be merciful to pastors, by the way. He actually promises a reward for those who serve. And I believe that mercy will triumph over judgment in my life. But let me say this, in holy fear, I recognize the responsibility of being a pastor. And may I say I come short. But I think the context here is above all in the words you speak. If you're gonna speak, it says in Peter, let him who speaks speak as if speaking the very words of God. I've known Christ for 41 years. I can say, it'll be 41 years in June. I still remember the month that I've known Jesus. And most of that time I've been a pastor. And there are things that have come out where I'd like to pull it back. You know, he goes, oh, can I pull that one back? But the goal is always to rightly divide the word of truth. But Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved, a working man who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so don't presume to teach unless you really study, unless you get into the word. Now, we all stumble. Verse 2 is a verse of grace. We all stumble in many ways. There's no perfect man. Now, I think the key verse is, he goes on to say that the tongue is set on fire by hell. It's a deadly poison. It's like a rein to pull a horse. Or it's like a little rudder steering the entire ship. Right? You know, the Titanic, everybody know about the Titanic. They hit the iceberg, and it's because they saw the iceberg coming, but they couldn't turn the ship fast enough. And it depends on the rudder. The rudder turns the ship. A little rudder can turn a giant ship. Our tongue is one of the smaller members of our body. See? Not very big. But it has great power because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who we are often surfaces here. It should go without saying that slander can ruin a person. Ruin a person. And some things, once they occur, are hard to pull back. I don't know if you've ever experienced being slandered. I have. It goes with the territory of being a pastor. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the late great, used to say that a lot of people on Sunday afternoon have roast pastor for lunch. If you want to have everybody like you, then do nothing. Because if you do anything, you're going to be criticized. But we need to be careful. We are not to slander one another. We are not to speak ill of one another. And we need to swallow our words if we are, and quickly repent. With our tongues, we can do good. And I'm going to talk about that. But first of all, we are not to do harm. I knew a doctor who was an elder in my church in Big Bear, and there was a malpractice suit against him, and he was innocent. He was the best doctor in the city. But the malpractice suit labeled him, and he had to deal with that. I know what it is to have a letter written about me and have that letter. I had a person, it was in Big Bear, place of great spiritual warfare, but God did a lot. The church was 600 people. And suddenly a letter was written about me and sent to 16 leaders that I had done something before a person even talked to me. I didn't even know they were upset with me. You know what the Bible says? If you have something against a brother, first go talk to the brother. That's what Matthew 18. Is there something that's bothering you about it? Go to the brother. Hey, Mitch, you know, can I talk to you about something here? That's what you're supposed to do. And then if they won't listen to you and you really feel you just can't forgive it, it's a serious thing, then you get an elder. You say, hey, Steve, would you join in so I can talk to Mitch? Actually, I don't have anything against you. You're just an example today. And so that's how it works. First you talk to the brother, then you bring somebody else. And if you still can't solve it, you bring the matter before the church. But that's the last resort. You first go to the brother. Try and work it out peacefully. You don't just suddenly write a letter or, you know, that is slander, ladies and gentlemen. And I forgive the persons that have done that. I've experienced, I have no unforgiveness in my heart. There's no room for that in the kingdom of God. I am required to forgive everyone. But the tongue has the capacity to do harm. That's what he's talking about. We are Christians. We are called to praise you, Lord. You can't go, praise the name of Jesus. I can't stand that guy over there. Oh, what? What? We are not to curse with our tongues those people that are made in the image of God. We are to love even our enemies. Now, I can hate the evil. If the enemy does evil, I can hate the evil that's done. I don't have to love that. But I'm to pray for the guy that's persecuting me. So we need to use our tongues carefully. I thought what would be fun, briefly, is to show you, because there's only two subjects this morning. The tongue and the next subject is going to be on wisdom. So let's go to the first subject right now about the tongue. And I would like you to just meditate. That's all I really need to say to you. I want you to meditate that the tongue can do a lot of good. Did you know that? The tongue can do so much good. The tongue that can speak kind words. I love you. How are you? Jesus loves you. Can I tell you that Jesus died for you? He's buried and he rose from the dead. That's your tongue is being used for a noble purpose. And it's a matter of no man can tame the tongue, but guess who can? Somebody tell me who can tame the tongue. Who? Who can tame the tongue? Don't be shy. Somebody say, Jesus, Jesus. Is that right, Pastor? It's yes, God can tame. Jesus, when you become, wow, when you become a Christian, you know, we covered this before, you know, you die with Christ. You know, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So the old Roger, who is capable of saying bad things, was actually buried positionally in the YMCA pool in 1977. And now Christ lives in me, and if I let Christ reign in me, the Holy Spirit gives you victory. Do I come short? Yeah, every day. So do you. Do I ever say things I shouldn't? Absolutely. So do you. Do I still sin? Yes, so do you. But when I allow Jesus to tame my spirit, when I allow Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, to tame my tongue, my tongue has a pretty good day. So what you can't do, understand that God can do. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Turn to Proverbs. I'm going to flip through several Proverbs with you. They're all in your bulletin, by the way. They are all written in your bulletin. You can go home and look them up yourself. But these are some scriptures about the tongue. By the way, I am an absolute fan of, or lover of, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is such a good book. There are 31 days in the average month, and there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, right? And you can read, like today was the 6th, yesterday was the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. I went down to the plaza and all the little Hispanic girls were doing them dances and stuff. It was pretty cool. But today is the 6th of May. So I open my Bible today and begin with Proverbs chapter 6. I like to do that. I've been doing that for almost my entire Christian life. It's like my little vitamin pill before I go to my regular bookmark and read where I'm reading. That's in my morning devotions. And a life that is in the book of Proverbs is a life that's going to be guided into wisdom. And if you are here over the next few couple months after we finish the book of James, we're going to do an Old Testament overview. And you'll find that the Bible is in four sections: the law, the history books, the poetry books, and the prophets. It's very simple. The law, the history, the poetry, and the prophets. And we'll cover that. We'll spend at least one Sunday on each one. And when you get to the poetry books, so-called poetry, you have Psalms. The book of Job is called a poetry book, even though it's historic. You have Job, you have Psalms, you have Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, you have Song of Solomon. And they're all relational to God. And Proverbs gives you great wisdom. And so you think of the subject of the tongue, and Proverbs is helpful. Proverbs 6, look at verse 19. This speaks of the harm the tongue can do. I'm going to read it in verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. God doesn't like that. God does not like a person dividing his church. God doesn't like that. He's opposed to that. Chapter 10 of Proverbs. Verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. King James has that prettier. It says, in a multitude of words, transgression is not lacking. You say enough things, sooner or later you're going to sin. That's what it's saying. So it's kind of good to use words with restraint. And then it says, the very next verse, chapter 10, verse 20, it says, here's the good thing. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. So your tongue can be like a choice silver. Look later in verse 31 of chapter 10. Verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. And verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting. So you see, I'm just reading the positive side there. So the mouth has the capacity to bring wisdom out and to know what is fitting. Chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips. He doesn't like us to lie. God is not happy. We are not to be liars. We're born again Christians. But he delights in men who are truthful. Truthful. We should be truthful. Elsewhere in the scripture says an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Can I be honest with you? I like people that speak truthfully, tell the truth. And then again in chapter 13, look at verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. But the unfaithful have a craving for violence. The lips can be, actually some people make a living with their lips, if you will. While you're there, look at verse 3. He who guards his lip guards his soul. So guarding our words. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. So you can speak words that are true. Verse 4, I like this one. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. And verse 23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. The word promote instruction there is alternately translated, makes it persuasive. When I was in college, I went to USC, I was a speaker, and there was an event called persuasive speaking. You would try to persuade someone. But I didn't know why I was alive. That's why I became a marijuana smoker, and I sold for Allstate Insurance, tried to sell insurance. What a terrible job. And I had these different jobs I didn't like. I actually sold medical products with Dynamed Incorporated. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. But hey, when I came to Christ at age 26, it's like, this is what I want to talk about. Jesus Christ. I want to persuade people to know Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, since we know what it is to fear God, we seek to persuade men. We should be persuaders. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? I think it's true from history. It's true from prophecy. I think Israel and the land is a sign to you. We can persuade people about Christ. We can use our lips for good things. We can promote knowledge. We can make knowledge persuasive. Chapter 18 of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. That's pretty strong. Verse 7. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Gossip. Boy, did you hear what Ron did? Sorry, Ron, picking on you. Did you hear what this guy did or this guy did? Oh, tell me. It's gossip. We are not to gossip about one another. We are not to be doing that. Ron didn't do anything, by the way. chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Just a few more, you guys. We're almost done. Chapter 20, verse 15. Gold there is and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. I like that one. Gold there is, rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Lips that speak of Jesus Christ, lips that speak knowledge, and Christ is a source of genuine wisdom, are a rare jewel. They're more valuable than rubies. In verse 19 of chapter 20, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. I'm just giving you something to meditate on. Chapter 25, we're almost done with it. Verse 11. 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. That beautiful, aptly, timely word spoken. Chapter 26, verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. I like that. Something been swirling in the air. Quit talking about it. It'll go out. I found that if something's bothering somebody, the best thing I do is I don't give it any more wood. Don't talk about it anymore. And it goes away. The fire dies out. Keep talking about it, it's going to blaze. So if you want to end a quarrel, quit talking about it. Don't put any more wood on the fire. Don't gossip about it. Chapter 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Okay, that's just a sample, church. Go back to James, please. Go back to James chapter 3. I wanted you to see, just in Proverbs alone, how much is said about the tongue. And I just want you to meditate on, I'm a simple guy, and I want you to meditate on the fact that your tongue has capacity to do evil if you let the enemy, Satan, rule it. If you go in the flesh and in the anger, you might say anything. But if you reckon yourself to be dead to this world, dead to self, then your motives will be the motivation of love. And the Bible says in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. I speak, and if I'm saying it in love, I can do it. If I'm correcting you, but I'm doing it in love, I can do it. Love is the thing that controls us. Now, chapter 3, we have one more subject, verse 13. We're going to talk next about wisdom. There are two kinds of wisdom. Two kinds of wisdom. I'll give you a hint. There's the bad kind and the good kind. Okay? There's the kind that's of the devil, and there's the kind that's of the Lord. Which one would we rather have? The one of the Lord. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So actually, wisdom produces humility. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So this is the kind of wisdom. I think James is almost being sarcastic. He's saying the wisdom, in quotation marks, he's kind of using it tongue-in-cheek. He's saying that so-called wisdom is not from the Lord. It's from the devil. It's from the earth. And notice that earthly wisdom has envy and it has selfish ambition. You see that in verse 14? Envy, verse 14, and selfish ambition. The word envy, interesting Greek word, it means to go to war and to trouble someone else. Because the good that they have, you want to make it look like it's less. Diminishing the good of somebody else so you'll look better. You're so jealous that they have it that you want to act like they don't have it. So rather than acknowledge, boy, yeah, he's a good man, I actually start speaking poorly of him to make me seem better. That's what envy does. Envy says, I start pulling that other person down rather than esteeming them. And that's the terrible thing. And selfish ambition is another interesting word in the Greek. And this is just from my Greek dictionary. It says, it's the word zelos, Z-E-L-O-S. It means to vie for power or gain, a motive of self-interest as one running for public office. In the language of that day, selfish ambition. So if I'm envying you, oh man, I wish I, and selfish ambition, I want more power myself, you know? Kind of like Korah challenging Moses. Well, Moses, why are you the boss? We're just as good as you. Selfish ambition. God hadn't called Korah, he called Moses. But Korah was envious, he was jealous. It's a dangerous thing. Bible says, look, promotion comes not from the east or from the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. Don't clamor for some position that God hasn't called you to. If God wants to promote you, let him promote you. If God wants to establish you, let him establish you. But don't try and do it by envy and selfish ambition, because that creates bad fruit. Oh, I want to be more powerful. I want to be more recognized. And then you start doing things that are terrible and things that are bad fruit. Not envy, not selfish ambition. He says, such wisdom is earthly. In other words, that it comes from men on the earth. It's not heavenly thinking, it's human thinking. And he says, that's where you find disorder. Disorder in the Greek is commotion, tumult, disruption, a state of instability. I'm envious, so instable. You don't want to do that. But then he describes the wisdom that we should have, not the kind that is envious, not the kind that is practicing selfish ambition, but a kind of wisdom that he describes, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's pure. Then peace-loving. I want to get along with you. Let's have peace. I have thoughts, but they're pure. They're from God. My wisdom is peace-loving. It's considerate. Considerate. How is this going to make you feel? It's submissive. Oh, after you. It's submissive. Full of mercy and good fruit. Full of mercy. Don't you like it when people treat you with mercy? We're not to be fault-finding with each other. We're to be merciful to each other. Impartial. No favoritism. Good is good, bad is bad. No, impartial and sincere. Sincere. Sincerity is that quality of, this is how I really feel. I once asked Pastor Raul Reese, I said, Raul, how come you always have so much joy constantly? And he said, just be sincere, man. He's a Hispanic guy, great guy. I never forgot that. Just be sincere. And then it says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. The definition of righteousness is all that conforms to God's higher authority. Righteousness is all that conforms to God's higher authority. So there's earthly wisdom, which is vying for myself, selfish ambition. That's earthly wisdom. There's heavenly wisdom, which is I want to be considerate of you. I want to be submissive to you. I want to be a peacemaker with you. That's what God wants. That's the kind of wisdom we're supposed to have. The Bible says that we're to esteem others as better than ourselves. So it's the difference between a life that is ego-centered and driven or someone who's been crucified and with Christ and now is just deferring to others and loving others. That's what we're to be. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. God wants us to, the meek shall inherit the earth. We are to be a quality of meekness in loving each other. So James is very direct with us. He says, be careful of the tongue and walk in heavenly wisdom. You see, if I'm walking in earthly wisdom, I will use my tongue badly. If I want power, I might slander somebody, or I might do something I shouldn't say. But if I'm walking in God's wisdom, I'm saying that only that which is building up and edifying and wholesome to other people. That is what we are called to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that we have in the book of James. Well, Lord, there's so many wonderful scriptures about the tongue and scriptures about wisdom. And I just thank you that you have given us the choice that we can walk in the wisdom of heaven. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You say if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. All things are made new. So I thank you for the newness of life we have. And I pray that our tongues would bring glory to you. And that with our tongues we would love each other. And our wisdom would be peace-loving. All these things that you've asked us to do, by your grace of God, may you fulfill them. In Jesus' name, amen.